Welcome to Radio Tambua, an outreach of ACFA, the Africa Center for Apologetics Research. ACFA equips God's people for the defense of the faith, biblical discernment, and cult evangelism. Let's begin today's message.
Welcome to a special program this evening, in which we'd like to discuss more about apologetics and cults. Recently, Center for Apologetics Research had workshops in Zomba and in Blantyre, in which the main subject was all about apologetics and cults. We have them in this program and would like to discuss more about this subject. What is apologetics? And who are the cults? Tim Martin from Center for Apologetics Research of USA and Kennedy Mchinanguo Gondwe of Center for Apologetics Southern Africa, based in Zambia, are with me in this program to discuss the subject of apologetics and cults. My name is Lloyd Gumbi. Let's be together.
I would like to know you and where are you from and what do you do there?
Hi, my name is Tim Martin. I am from the United States and I'm with the Centers for Apologetics Research. And my office, my main goal is to do research on many different kinds of cults and religious movements. I produce materials, PowerPoints, teachings, and support what's going on in our other offices around the world.
Since when have you been in Malawi?
I've been in Malawi, I think, about 2 weeks now. I'll be leaving here in 2 days, and it's been a great trip.
So how is Malawi?
I've really enjoyed my time here. We were in Zomba for a while, and now in Blantyre, and the people are great. The place is wonderful, and it's just been a wonderful time.
I understand you had some classes in Zomba whereby you were teaching some lessons. How was it?
It was really good. We were at Zomba Theological College. People were very receptive, very interested in what we had to say, and probably some of the most enthusiastic people that I think that we've ever taught.
And I have also my friend here. Introduce yourself. What is your name?
My name is Kennedy Mchinanguo Gondwe. I am originally Malawian, but right now I'm based in Zambia, serving with the Centers for Apologetics Research, working as the director for CIFA, the Centers for Apologetics Research in Southern Africa.
So together we are at Zomba Theological College. How was the teaching there?
Well, Zomba Theological College training is probably by far one of the best trainings we've conducted, because we started this right in Zambia. We had trainings in Zambia and then we came to Malawi first in Zomba. And it's just exciting to teach such a very enthusiastic and curious students as we found in Zomba.
Now my interest is to know more about apologetics, because you came all the way from Zambia, you came all the way from US to present this subject at Zomba Theological College, and to know for sure that Malawians, especially theological students, should know what apologetics is and of course what you mean by cult. What is all about apologetics?
Well, that's the key question, because that's why we're here doing apologetics. And if we're going to talk apologetics, the verse in the Bible we need to talk about is 1 Peter chapter 3, here in verse 15. The word apologetics that we use when we say apologetics comes from this verse in the Greek. Peter says here, "In your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Now, this idea that he says being prepared to make a defense, this is from the Greek apologia, what we say apologetics. It's being prepared to have a defense, kind of like you think of a legal situation where a lawyer is preparing a defense to defend his client. We as Christians, we're told here that we are to be prepared to have this defense ready for the Christian faith. And out of all the places I have traveled and been around in this world, Zambia, Malawi, this place is just ripe with needing this kind of information, because the cults are just huge here. There are so many folks out there teaching false and understanding the Bible false, and Christians really here need to be equipped. And I think that's why they were so enthusiastic in Zomba, because they recognized how much they needed to understand the different people around them, how to understand what they believe, where they're coming from, so they can defend the faith and minister to those that are trapped in some of these false religious worldviews.
Defending the faith, Kennedy.
Yes, when as Tim rightly pointed out, when we talk about apologetics, we're talking about giving an apologia. An apologia is a piece of statement seeking to defend something, explaining something, or maybe clarifying something. What that means is, there are other people who are bent or committed to destroying that which someone wants to defend. So when you talk about the Christian faith is an objective faith, as Jude writes, the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. So this is the faith, the one faith. But this faith we're talking about, the Christian faith, has sworn enemies. So when you talk about apologetics, we try to defend the Christian faith against those sworn enemies of the faith, those who seek to distort it and misinterpret it. And we try as much as possible try to give a coherent view of what the church has always stood for.
There is a mentioning of cut. What do you mean by a cut?
Well, that is a second excellent question, because that also defines what we're doing here. By cult, we mean, and sometimes it's harder to describe than what we think, because the word is used so many times by so many people, and oftentimes they use it in a negative way, almost to say, like, people in the cults, well, those are the bad people. Those are the folks that we're not supposed to like. They do bad practices or whatnot, but, you know, sometimes Christians do those things as well. So we're not talking about things that they do. We're not talking about kinds of behaviors, but what it is that they believe. And there's some key things that we think of about the subject, about what they believe, that kind of helps define this. And I like to use 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, where Paul says, "For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted." So this is a good starting point with cults. They come with different Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel. And again, that doesn't mean that...
You mean different Jesus, not the one we know.
Right, yeah, very, very different Jesus. Oh. Whereas they might say, well, and they'll always throw in there that they believe in Jesus. Oh, we believe in Jesus just like you do. We're Christians just like you. But as you look into the religion, whatever it is, if it's a cult, you'll find that Jesus is greatly distorted. They might believe in this guy they call Jesus, but maybe they'll say that he's not God, or they might say that he's God, but they'll change who God is. Like, God is not like the second person of the Trinity, perhaps. He's something very different, very distorted from who he is in the Bible.
Now, Kennedy, how can we know them or identify these gods? Can we know them by their dressing or maybe their behavior? How can we know that this guy who is preaching to me is a god?
Well, it's very difficult to know a cult by their dressing, or even by their behavior, because these are people sometimes who are well behaved in society. They will probably be the most moral people. They'll be very gracious.
They are good people.
Yeah, it definitely, like, using our society standards for morals and ethics, they will probably be the best people. But when you talk about a cult, this is about what they believe in. And maybe let hearers not mistake us. You know, as Christians, we disagree on a lot of things. Even me and you, Lloyd, here, we might not agree on everything. Just as a team, we are three people here, we might have three different views on certain issues, and I would call the secondary or tertiary doctrines of the Christian faith.
Yes.
But where the idea of cult comes in, it comes on in as far as the essentials of the Christian faith, the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith are concerned. By fundamental doctrines, I mean the doctrines on which our salvation is founded on. So the Sikh, actually, they are bent on distorting, rejecting, or redefining those doctrines. What are these doctrines, maybe? We were talking about, just giving a few examples, we're talking about the nature of God. Who is God? The Bible describes God as triune, one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Cults who come and reject the Trinity, they will reject the Trinity in many ways, either by rejecting the divinity of Jesus Christ. They will tell you, well, he was a great gifted man, but he is not God. Or others will say, oh, well, he was amazing, but he was not human. So they will deny the person of Jesus Christ, one of his natures. They will deny the Trinity. They will redefine what faith means. They will distort what God's grace means.
Yeah, that's another huge one. And what's important for us as Christians to understand is they will use these terms, whether they're saying, like, they believe in Jesus or they believe in grace. They might say it the way that we like hearing it, but they're using different definitions for these words. Like grace, they will definitely say is free. How are they going to ever convince somebody that this is a church you should join if they walk around saying, oh, we don't believe in Jesus, we don't believe that salvation is free? No, they do talk like that, but they mean something very, very different than what the Bible teaches. Instead of being just an absolute free gift as we understand it, though grace is free, they'll say you still have to maybe qualify for it. There are things that you have to do in order to be forgiven of God, whether that's going out and telling people about your God or making sure that you give 10% to not just any church, it needs to be to their church. Usually it's their church is the only true church. So it sounds good on the outside. It sounds like they're talking about God's grace and God's love given through Jesus. Yeah, they sound that way, but when you look behind what they mean, it's something very different. And that's why Christians, when we meet someone on the street, we need to know, well, if this person says that they follow Jesus, should we fellowship with this person, or do we need to evangelize? Do we need to tell them the truth? And so this isn't like who's better, well, we're better than them. Not at all. So who do we need to love and serve that we meet?
Maybe just to add up, I think Tim pointed out one aspect of which is so common amongst these groups, and I just want to highlight that again. You know, most of these groups, they will tell you that they're the only true church. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet this group based on their belief system, based on what they hold out to, they will tell you, we are the only true church. You go to another group, they will tell you, we are also the only true church. We're the only true church. And, you know, and hamena kuti mvela, you know, muntu akangwa uza kuti if chichaji chatu ndi chichaji chokacho choona, I think Utawe, entire to Utawe, because what we know to be the Church of Christ is that the Church united together in Christ Jesus and the teachings of the Scriptures. We might disagree. So what I'm saying is believers might disagree on some of the secondary or tertiary doctrines. I'm not trying to say those tertiary doctrines are not important, but they are important, except that our salvation does not hinge on those doctrines. But if someone comes and they are either redefining, distorting, or rejecting any one of the fundamental doctrines on which our salvation is founded on, and that's become problematic, and that's where a cult as a term comes from.
Well, if you are just joining us, we are in this special program. We are discussing more about apologetics, and I have Tim and Kennedy here who are helping us know more about apologetics and, of course, cults. What are these? And, well, their definition and of course presentation is coming from the Bible. I understand somewhere Tim said, well, these people, they bring another Jesus, not the Jesus we know. And they are, and Kennedy say, they are more friendly, they are good people. But if you check their words, you check their doctrines, you find that they are presenting to you a certain Jesus that they know, not the Jesus that presented in the Word of God, or Jesus that we know, that Jesus is one of the triune God, as God the Son. We continue our debate, our discussion actually. Apart from knowing or relying on the Bible definition of the cult, I don't know, socially, what are the characteristics of these cults? Socially, apart from checking into the Bible, that well, this is the Bible is defining who a cult is, what cults do. How can we know them socially, their characteristics?
Well, the primary way that we would look is, it would be definitely doctrinally, as Kennedy and I have been talking. But as cults develop, we do see certain characteristics within the group and how they behave. Some of the ways that we can point to is love bombing. And what love bombing is when you're first being introduced to the group, there's this unconditional acceptance of, we love you, you're accepted just as you are. And Christians, we should actually be doing this part, love people unconditionally when they come to our church. But what happens in the cult is, after a while, over time, this unconditional love, unconditional acceptance starts to become conditional. Whereas if you don't start to believe whatever the group is teaching, accept their leaders as being solely from God, accept all of their doctrines, over time, now the love is conditional and it starts locking you into this group solidly, because it becomes the center of your life and there is no way to get out without losing this unconditional love. Another thing that is very powerful that they do is they will discourage any kind of thinking outside of the group. You're not supposed to read or listen to anybody who's teaching anything different. Anything outside of our group is from Satan, they might say. Anything within our group, this is solely from God. So you need to just solely think about what we teach and don't look at what's coming on from the world. And this limits people from being able to really evaluate what they're part of. Christians, we should be able to ask questions. We should be able to ask our pastors or Bible study teachers or whoever, well, what about this? What about that? Whereas questions are discouraged in the cults. They don't want people to be thinking outside of their box.
Ndakakuonda kwambiri, Kennedy, you can just say this in Chichewa kuti akulu amakubatsandondomeko zoti utsatire ndipo kati watsutsana nazo mwasiyana. Can you just explain on that?
Yeah, you see, tikama nena za makauts, usually it's very important kuti tidziwe kuti at the center of that group makhala munthu, kandi mbusa, kandi prophet, kandi apostle, mwina ikuzokhala organization kumene at the center of it. And imapeleka ndondomeko. Izizi zimene mukina yani? Musatire. And mbusa, kandi apostle, kandi prophet, amene uja at any time, msumunga msuse. Kamena simunga fuse mafunso. There is never a time when they are wrong themselves. You know, the moment ukambo fusa mafuso, ama kuona ngati kuti ni waukira. And then umaona kuti zintu sizukarira bwino. So at the very bottom of it, you realize there is a very central charismatic leader who can never be wrong at any time. And if you try to disagree with him or her, then that becomes a problem. Komanso, you know, if you ngata Christ Redeemer wirenga zinthu zambiri kuti dzojani, chona duwelenga Bible komanso, alipa Christ Redeemer amene alemba jani, alemba zinthu like ma commentaries mafuna jani, tiwerenge. Komanso, zimene alemba zijati mazibanga evaluate based on the Bible. Koma gura mene wawa nthawi zambiri, ama guza kuti sunga wirenga china jijose, choti chalembe dada antwena, poka poka, chinji chalembe dojani, dinsogoleri. You know, kapena bungwe limene likutsogolera chani mpingo mene uja.
So ama tusana sondi Bible also did it?
Yeah, kwambiri. Zambi zimene amalemba zimakhala zotsana ndi Bible. Like for mwachisanzo ndikhoza kuti ilipo mpingo ina amakhulupira kuti Yesu sanadzuke kwa kufa. Yesu si Mulungu koma na Yesu anachita kulengedwa poyamba anali mwina mungero na uza aya ama sandi zimzambiri andi akwena kuti akhulupirire zimzibere zija chifukwa ndizimene bungwe kapena mpingo kapena mtsogoleri wawo wauza ndipo Khristu sunga sutsani ndi zimene zozo kapena kufunsa funso kumene sunga funsa funso ndipo ukangoyamba kufunsa funso amaona ngati kuti you've been influenced njani ndi anthu akunja.
Now let's talk about the church. How do we find these people in the church? How do these cults penetrate the churches and mislead people? And how do they convince people? And I'm asking this because you find that there are other quite good people, intelligent people who are among the cults, and you wonder why this person was convinced to join this and even to believe this. He thinks well, he's good at school, and you find that he's been convinced and of course believed that false doctrine.
There's many cults out there, and they may come at us in many directions. You'll find that basically any station of your life, there's a cult that would want to capitalize on whatever is going on with you. You might have a death in the family, a broken marriage where people are hurt and hurting, and there's a cult out there ready to capitalize on that. There's been cults that target people who are on the college campuses, cults that target elderly, and in their minds now, when we say target and use words like this, I don't mean that in the cultist mind they're thinking, let's go after them. But that's the effect of it. They are looking for people who in need, and they're ready to step in and fill that need and say, look, we have a God that can take care of this situation, that will be there for us and for you throughout this.
They are very kind.
They can be, very kind. And oftentimes they're stepping up in ways that we as Christians should be. We should see when people are in need and hurting and step in with the truth of Jesus. But the sad thing is the cults are a little bit faster than we are and get in there. So there's that way that they may deceive us into the group. And you mentioned, Lloyd, about that they're smart, they're good, they're nice, wonderful people. And I think that's what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 7 when he said that they come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. The sheep's clothing is the goodness, the kindness, gentleness. We think, okay, they're Christians just like us because look how wonderful they are. But then the wolf is under the sheep's clothing where they come in with the false doctrine and false teaching that can pervert and draw us away with the subtlety that the enemy has.
Mwina ndingo paka kukajijewa pangono. Iwa Bible imadipanga woni kuti
actually fusulanga nilo kuti kuti nchali chama pesi kama branch.
Yes.
Komanso zimonika kuti antuoganiza bwino kapena kuti amene ndanzeru amapanga nawo zimene zoda kuti wa chako pa mtima ndichani kuti akhoza kupanga izi.
Yes, nyofana ndiyankhule iwa Bible I think kumateyo limatiuza kuti chenjerani nthawi yomaliza kuzabwera atumiki onyenga.
Yes.
And ndi mimburu koma izabwera mu jani in sheep's clothing.
Yes. Chiwa
chabwino ndingo ndiya
mwina mozizi mbaitsa.
Yeah.
Mozizi mbaitsa atavala chofunda chabwino.
Yeah.
Chankhosa
atavala chofunda chankhosa. Koma ili mimburu ndithu mimburu yopya. Chimene akutanthauza mafi pamenepo chakuti kuvala chikopa chankhosa pamene ili mimburu akunena zabwino zina zimene chani akale akuchita anthuwa akuzokhala anthu achifundo kwambiri mwina anthu opereka kwambiri mchalichi akuzokhala mchalichi momwemo koma opereka kwambiri andi kupereka kuja nthawi zina kumakhala kuti akutitseka mmaso moti anthu ambiri sitingathe kudza kuti munthuyu akuzomakhala kuphunzitsa ziphunzitso zoyipa chabe mmene iye akuperekera chani akuziperekera chani mutchalichi muja. Jude Yakobo buku la Yakobo I think Jude chapter ndi buku la chapter chimodzi koma verse 4
Yuda.
Yuda ndiwerenga mchizungu. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, and godly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. What Jude is saying is, you know, they will not come announcing what they teach. They will secretly penetrate you. And as Tim rightly pointed out, everyone else is prone to joining cults. Even you and me, Lloyd, it only takes on our individual vulnerabilities. The conditions ripe enough. As Tim was saying, mina mayankula mwina wataya okondedwa wako, you've lost a loved one. And sometimes, you know, the people who show up very fast to give you help are these same people. You are already weak and vulnerable at that moment. And before Sanadziwe, they've been attracted to these groups. And it is now Achibalea Twambiri, Oti Alo Wamaguramene Wawa, Nkani Ake, Anagokedwa, Kabina, Anakara attracted Kwambiri, these many Maguramene Wamachitira, Mundhau, Minazo Vuta.
And the thing is then, you are not talking about Satanism.
No, not really, because Kumarayo Kunoko, when people talk about Satanism, they're talking about some magic things, things associated with magic, mm-hmm. and the like. And here we're not talking about the magical things. These are not things to do with magic. These are normal people, but really the point is about what they believe in as far as the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith are concerned. Mm-hmm. And these are normal people. These are people we know, and these are people who, if you talk about magic, they will even hate anything to do with magic, but their teachings, their doctrines seriously distorts the fundamental teachings of the Christian faith. By fundamental, I'm talking about the doctrines on which our salvation is founded on.
Some people think that we should just preach love, calling others gods or forces unloving. Don't you think you are majoring in the minor?
Oh, I don't think we're majoring in the minors at all. And we've heard this many times, Lloyd. People will think, oh, you're just such hateful people for doing this. But let's see if I can just make up an illustration here right now. If you were walking down a path and you saw that the bridge was out, and if people were going to continue to walk on this path, that they're going to get hurt. And so you start walking back, and a car is driving down the road right to where the bridge is out. Would it be mean of you to just say, well, hey, you're in danger, you need to stop, you need to turn around? Or should you just wave and smile and say, hey, have a great day? No, there's danger ahead. And with cults, it's not just danger in this life that you could get hurt. Sometimes they might. Most of the time, they're not. They're going to lead a really nice, healthy, wonderful lifestyle. They'll learn to be kind and moral. But in the next life, how much worse it'll be for them if they died and they hear from Jesus, as he said in Matthew chapter 7, I never knew you. That is bad news that I don't want them to hear. And in order for me to point the other direction and say, don't drive down this road, I need to understand where they're coming from, what do they believe, and how I can try to help them understand who Jesus really is, so they don't drive down that spiritual road that's leading to destruction.
Now, how should believers prepare themselves against this problem?
Well, we have to kind of do our homework. And I'm sorry to say that sometimes it's difficult. You can't just say, oh, there's this one. Hey, if we just quote John 3:16 to them, that's all we need to do. Man, if it were that easy, Kennedy and I would be out of a job. But it's so much harder. We have to understand where they're coming from. What is their worldview? Who do they believe Jesus is? And the Centers for Apologetics Research, this is what we want to do, is be a help and a resource to people that they would know where do these folks come from. Because I guarantee you, if John 3:16 is going to totally change their world, they carry the Bible usually. They would have read it themselves. They need somebody who is prepared. And I like to think of Paul, who as a former, not just Jewish person, but a former Pharisee, on Mars Hill, in the Areopagus, where he's walking up past tombs of unknown gods. He walks up there, he knows and understands the culture, knows how to engage them. And that's what we as Christians need to do. We need to do our homework, understand them, and know how to reach them in love.
Kennedy, prepare believers. How should they actually prepare themselves against this problem? This problem is tough. I'm focusing how economically we are. As a country, we have a lot of economic hardships, and I could see those kind of cards coming and convincing churches, believers, to believe them so that they can have something and have a colorful life. I don't know, how can Christians prepare themselves to meet this?
Well, it's quite hard, as Tim pointed out. There's really no one way how to do this. But I am immediately reminded of the Berean Christian in Corinthians. And Paul commends the Berean Christians, because as he spoke, as he taught, the Berean Christian, the Christians of Berea, kept searching the scriptures to see if what Paul was teaching, was preaching, was consistent with the scriptures. What's unique with these Christians? They never cared who Paul is. Mm-hmm. He is an apostle. Mm-hmm. You know, he was an apostle, but they never cared how many miracles he had performed, what kind of authority he had. But they searched the scriptures keenly to see if what Paul was teaching was consistent with the scriptures. This is an apostle, and Paul later on commends them for being noble. And I think we can borrow a leaf from that. Lloyd, it's very unfortunate that we live at such a time and age where believers are very lazy when it comes to reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. My advice to believers, read your Bibles, not just reading the Bibles, but also seeking to understand the Bible. Reading the Bible in context. I've been talking about this. I read somewhere, someone just came in church, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, and full stop. And he preached a sermon that God gave his only, therefore you should also give your only. You know, he was reading from the Bible, but the verse he quoted was incomplete and taken out of context, designed uniquely to dupe and steal from the believers. And since believers usually close their Bibles, of course most of them were lied to, and they lost their precious funds. Let's encourage believers to read the scriptures and understand the scriptures. Secondly, it's what Paul pointed out. I think elders in the church must be vigilant. The office of the eldership in church is not a professional office where people must be there and just, you know, sit idle. Actually, the elders in the church are warned again and again that they have a responsibility, they have a duty towards the flock that God has put under them. The elders must make sure that they warn members in the church regarding these wolves in sheep's clothing. How should they warn them? One way is what Tim also pointed out. It requires, you know, doing a little bit more of the studies, understanding the worldviews that is controlling these groups, and knowing specifically areas of distortion, the areas they distort, and forewarn the members in the church. You know, as someone said, a good minister, I say a good elder must be one who has two voices. One voice for calling members in the church to greener pasture, in other words, for speaking the gospel into the lives of people. But the other voice is the voice where you must ward off, you must chase off the wolves. Ngati mbusa wa ngombe, you know, kapena mbusa wa nkosa. Uma tenga nkosa zako kumazibisa kumadza bwino, kumaso kumene kuli nsipu jani. Wabwina. Komanso mimburu ikamabwera umafuula kuthawisa jani mimburu. Imene ndi ntchito ya mbusa kapena ntchito ya mkulu wa mpingo. Ukhoza kumangodyesa nkhosa zako bwinobwino pa msipu obiriwira bwinobwino, madza bwino au khondo. Koma mimburu ikamabwera ngati sukufuula kuithamangisa kapena kuchenjeza nkhosa zako kuti zinthu ngati zizini mimburu, they will not be well equipped. So what I'm saying is, you can teach the gospel, which is fundamental, it's very foundational, but I don't think that is complete if you don't warn your congregants regarding the dangers that is posed out there by these groups.
Lloyd, as Kennedy was talking about those in Berea and how the way Kennedy described it, they weren't just thinking about, well, this man's an apostle or what miracles that he's done. They wanted to search and know. What is interesting is not all cults, but a lot of them, they do just the reverse. Instead of saying, go and search this out and know, instead they're saying, well, look at the miracles. look at what's happening. This person was healed, or something like that. That they want to point to some kind of spiritual activity to convince people that this is true. That's never held out as a standard in the Bible to say, well, something miraculous happens. Instead, it's saying that Satan will come as an angel of light. Satan can do miracles as well. And we can see this in some cults will say a miracle happened, and we clearly don't believe this is from God. There's one group that's nowhere in this area, up in like Eastern Africa, that the leader claimed to be God himself and claimed that Jesus wasn't God. And I talked to somebody that's in that group, and he said the reason he's there is because of the miracles. His wife was healed of a horrible thing the doctors couldn't cure, and so that was his reason for staying. Now, I'm definitely not against miracles. If miracles are going on in your church, hallelujah for the work of God. But please know, that's not the reason why a church is okay or not. We need to investigate, well, what are they telling us to believe in light of this miraculous things that God is doing here?
To learn more about the Africa Center for Apologetics Research, visit us at africanapologetics.org.